come to you, we thank you once again for the opportunity that you've given us of being able to study your word. We thank you, Lord, for being able to have a place of meeting that's warm and comfortable. And we just pray, Lord, that you would be with Christians that are in other places where they have things that are very uncomfortable, unsafe, but they are still meeting. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember them. We pray now that you would help us to learn from Joshua. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Okay, Joshua chapter 5. Actually, we're going to start with the last verse of chapter 4. And we are going to see the getting ready to conquer. The last verse of Joshua chapter 4 says that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So there's a certain aspect to this conquering in which we have the Lord is in control and the Lord is orchestrating things, but there's still certain things that the children of Israel have to do. They can't just sit back and have everything happen for them. So now they're meeting at Gilgal. Last Sunday we saw how they crossed the Jordan River, and they were now at Gilgal, which is on the west side of the Jordan River, fairly close to Jericho. Now, when you're getting ready to do a big job, or when you're getting ready to do something, there are certain preparations that you have to have. What are some of the preparations? And that's not for Job, that's the job. I should have used vocation. What are some of the preparations that you have had to make or do for your particular vocation? Pardon? Okay, plan and train, and what did you train for your vocation? Okay, education for nursing. All right, so you had to train for that. Any other things that you had to do in preparation for your vocation? Doug? Pardon? Okay, you have to have the right tools. Dan? Okay, figure out the materials that you need and be able to purchase those. Anything else that we have as far as preparation for a job or vocation? Yes? Okay, actually find an opening where you can fit in. And this is after the training that you have done, whether this training is vocational or college or on-the-job training, all of these things are aspects that are involved. If you are preparing for sports, what are some of the things that you have to do to prepare for sport activities? Yes. Conditioning, unless your sport is chess. But then there has to be a mental conditioning, so being able to concentrate, yes. Okay, trying to understand the playbook. I have a very serious question about a couple of the Timberwolves, whether they understand the playbook at all. So anyway, yes, to be able to understand the playbook and how things are supposed to be run. Yes. Okay, the obstacles that you're going to face. What are you going to have to be able to do to get around these obstacles? For you ladies, what are some of the preparations that you have for cooking? None of you ladies. Yes. Okay, you have to have the right ingredients. Okay, the right utensils, yes. Okay, plan on what you're going to make, and so you have all of these things. What about your preparation for your spiritual life? What are some of the preparations that you need to make as far as your spiritual life is concerned? Yes, Karen.
Bible,
Okay, so she's mentioned a couple of things. One is to use the Bible. Another one is to look at someone who would be a mentor for you, or someone who is a spiritual individual, and to follow them. Any other things that you would have? Grant. Okay. It's not an instantaneous thing, but it is a journey, and so you have a road map of how you are going to get to that. Any other things that we would have as far as the spiritual life is concerned? Yes, right. Okay, to pray and seek God's face, yes. Okay, all right, so all of these are things that are necessary for preparation for something. Now let's go on to Joshua chapter 5. Now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. So we see that the inhabitants of the land, they were rather, they were afraid. And so this is a map, rough map. It talks about the Canaanites. Now, in chapter 4, we had quite a few of the peoples that were mentioned there, and it talks about the Hivites and the various other ones. I don't see it right now. But anyway, here it just talks about the Canaanites and the Amorites. They're actually pretty well bunched into two groups. The Amorites were the ones that were in the mountain area. So they would be in this area right in here. Then we have the Canaanites. They were over here on the coast. And so we'd have the Philistines and all the way up here. And so all of these different city-states or country-states that we had, they were lumped together into these two groups of people. So they were very much afraid because of the fact that they had heard about this mass of people that had left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and now they had also crossed the Jordan. And now, see, what stage was the Jordan River in? Okay, it was flood stage. This was dangerous to cross at this time. Now, the two individuals that stayed at Rahab's house, they had crossed probably, they'd probably used a boat or something like that to get across the Jordan River. So they were able to get across. But now when you've got over a million people that you have to take across, you can't take them across on little canoes. And especially if you've got children so how did they get across? Well, God performed the miracle, and these people knew about this. So they were thinking about this, and so they weren't afraid of what was going to happen. Now, at this time, it says in chapter 5, verse 2, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeah Haraloth. Now Gibeah Haraloth is the same city or the same encampment as Gilgal. Now this had been we actually have a reinstatement of the sign. So would someone turn to Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, and read that, please. Genesis 17, verses 9 and 10. Someone have this? You read it, please.
You and your descendants after you, and your generation
Okay, so God set up the covenant with the children of Israel through Abraham. And so Abraham was the genesis of this. He was the beginning of this. And the sign that they had for this covenant was the sign of circumcision. So this was now being reinstated. See, they had all of the males in Egypt had been circumcised, but when they left Egypt and they had now been out for 40 years, they had not followed this command at all. And so now this command had to be accomplished. And so we have Gilgal is where this was taking place. Now there's some significance to Gilgal. And the city or the encampment of Gilgal, they think it was about here. This is Jericho. Gilgal is over here. Where they crossed the Jordan River is over in this area. And so this is a big flat plain going across here. And we're right on the edge. Actually, the mountains start just to the west of Jericho. So the encampment, they think the encampment of Gilgal was very close to where the city of Jericho was during that time. So the children of Israel encamped there, and they now go through this this ritual of going through the circumcision. Now, some of the things, Gilgal, it was not just a summer encampment. It was not just a place where they stayed until they got to Jericho and moved on. There were actually quite a few things that happened here at Jericho. One of the things that we see is that the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. We see this in, why didn't I put that down? Oh yeah, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. So now, what was the reproach of Egypt? What was taken away from them here at Gilgal? Pardon? Yeah, what was the reproach of Egypt that was taken away? It says that the Lord rolled away the reproach of Egypt here at Gilgal as these people were encamped at that spot. Okay, what does the word reproach mean? Okay, the reproach would be taking away of or yeah, taking something away. If you would reproach someone, you would take away what they had done. Yes, there would. I think there'd be the attitude of a disdain with it. Grant. Okay. Yes, Doug.
On that line, the reproach may be also that, you know, what if, okay, they escaped, they got out of Egypt, what if they were in the desert for those 40 years?
Right.
When you think of a reproach, it would be that people would, you know, just, yeah, see, now look, you sort of the disdain that would be held of the Israelites because now they're away, if they would perish in the desert. For those 40
years. Sure. Okay. All right. So, they had Jacob in the land of Israel, had his 12 sons, and they were starting to, Abraham was a very wealthy man, Jacob was a very wealthy man, and so they were starting to make a name for themselves in the land of Canaan, But then, because of the famine, they went on down to Egypt. And they were there now for 400 years. How long has the United States been the United States? 250 years, is it, approximately? Something like that. See, so they had been in Egypt for a long, long time, and as slaves. And so they, as far as being a nation, were pretty well subjugated. Then, as Doug mentioned, they crossed the Red Sea, but they weren't exactly victorious after the crossing the Red Sea, 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness trying to figure out where you're at, you know, being in this corn maze. They just, again, they weren't making much of a name for themselves. And so now they had gotten here, and the Lord is saying, no, you are my favored nation. You are my people. And I am going to show that to you at this time. And so I think that's what taking away the reproach would be. Okay, so he rolled away the reproach. Then we see some of the other significances of Gilgal. So if some of you would take each one of these references, and we will have you read this. So Joshua 6:11, Joshua 9:3, 1 Samuel 15:33, 1 Samuel 11:14 and 15. We will not read the whole chapter of 1 Samuel 15, but by the helps in your Bible, you can probably tell what it's about. So what was Joshua 6:11? Okay, so every day that they went around Jericho, they came back to this camp, Gilgal, and they stayed there for night, and then the next day they went on around it again. And so they were there for this time, and so this is one of the reasons why people feel that Gilgal was really fairly close to Jericho, because if you had to walk all the way from the Jordan River to Jericho and around and then back, that would be a pretty good hike to do that every day. So the ark went back every day. Joshua 9:3. Would you read that, please? Yes, Dan. Okay, so we had the Gibeonites. Now the Gibeonites heard what had happened to Jericho. They heard what had happened to Ai. And they knew what was going to happen to them. And so they showed up with all their weather-beaten clothes. They showed up with their camping equipment in really bad shape. They showed up with donkeys that had lost their shoes and all this kind of stuff. You know, they were a ragtag bunch. And they said, you know, we've come all this way, when they'd actually just come from around the hill. But anyway, they made this deal with the children of Israel, with Joshua. And where did this take place? This took place at Gilgal. And so they had been warring from Gilgal to Jericho, to Ai, and so on. And now we have Gibeah. So we had, this also took place. 1 Samuel 15:33. Would someone read this, please? Yes. Do you, oh, I thought you had it there. Who has 1 Samuel? Karen?
Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among the women. And Samuel had to take Agag and pieces before the Lord in Gilgal.
Okay. So Samuel, who was the priest, was involved at Gilgal, and this is where Agag, where he dismembered Agag. And so this was sometime later. Then we also have 1 Samuel 11:14 and 15. Yes, Kinsey.
Thank you.
Okay, so Saul was crowned as the first king of Israel at Gilgal. And so they spent a considerable amount of time at Gilgal. This was not just a short encampment while they were coming on into the land of Israel. Then, what is 1 Samuel 15, the entire chapter basically? What is taking place there? In chapter 14, Saul was crowned. In chapter 15, he was decrowned. All right. And so this was the end of Saul being the king of Israel and of Saul's line being the king of Israel. So all of these things took place at Gilgal. So this was a fairly substantial time for them there. So we have each one of these things, Saul crowned and rejected. Then we have the circumcision. Now, the circumcision, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them, all the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. Now, the circumcision itself, this act was strictly This was a sign of what was supposed to have happened to the individuals. Now, some of the things that we do as Christians, we use as a sign to show what has actually happened to us. What would be some examples of some things that we now do that are a sign to others of the decisions that we have made? Pardon? Okay, a wedding ring. This would be a sign that you have promised your life to one individual. Other things that are signs, yes. Okay, baptism. See, the baptism itself just gets you wet. How wet depends upon where you were baptized. But anyway, it just gets you wet. But it is a sign of a decision that you have made. And so the same way circumcision, the act of circumcision did not make somebody be God's people, but it was supposed to be a sign that God had over them and that they should be following the Lord. We have other things that are signs of decisions you've made, even attending church on a regular basis. Again, attending the church isn't going to save you, but this is a sign of a change that has occurred in your life or of a pattern that you have taken that you are going to follow Christ. So the circumcision was to be a sign. So would someone turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Someone else turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Someone have the reference in Matthew. Matthew 3, 7 through 9. Grant. Okay, circumcision isn't mentioned specifically there, but it is alluded to in what way? Gene? Sons of Abraham, right. Remember that the sign of circumcision was given to Abraham, and so the sons of Abraham would all have had this sign. And so the sign of circumcision, what good was it doing the Pharisees here? Okay, a brood of vipers. And, you know, for your biology lesson today, that is poisonous snakes. And so you really don't want to have poisonous snakes around. And so that's what he called them. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Okay, how is circumcision used here? Okay, this was in response now to the Jewish Christians who felt that the Gentile Christians all had to be circumcised to become followers of Christ. Okay, Paul and Peter went through this. The church in Jerusalem went through this. And we see here that there's circumcision in this case is a attitude change, or it's showing what your attitude is. You're following Christ, and it doesn't have to be the physical act. And so it shows a heart change. Any comments or questions on this? Okay, I'm gonna go back to this map that I had. Okay, we have the map, Gilgal, Jericho is here, the Gibeonites were over in here someplace, there were a lot of other, the Canaanites over here, the Amorites over here, and so now, Joshua is having all of his warriors circumcised. How smart is this from a strategic standpoint? Joel? Okay. Taking care of this would incapacitate them for 3 to 4 days. And so for 3 to 4 days, they are not going to be able to fight. They have the Jordan behind them. They have the enemy in front of them. And Joshua is now incapacitating all of his warriors. What would be the reason that God would have directed this? Or waiting until they had conquered the land and then doing it? Okay. Okay. All right. See, they were encamped over here. What happened to my... Okay, they were encamped over here for a few days. It talks about them that they had 3 days to prepare, and then there was another, so they could have easily been encamped there for a week. So they could have done it over here, but no, God chose to wait until they were over here. Yes. Okay. All right. I saw a quote that I liked. It says, their weakness allowed God to show His strength in this situation. And so God had a lot of miracles here. The Jordan River during flood stage, not only did the water stop, but the bed of the river was dried up. Now we had them coming on across. He was now allowing them to be incapacitated, but He kept the enemy away from them. And so we see that, I think that this is the reason God did this, is once again so that He could show His might and that they were not going to conquer the country on their own strength, their own military prowess, but that it was God that was going to be doing the work for them. So, we have this. The wisdom of the circumcision. All right, Jericho in front of them, Jordan in flood stage behind them. Their weakness allowed God to show His strength. Then we go on to verse 10. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. So they were going to be observing the Feast of the Passover here. Now, what is the significance of the Feast of the Passover? Yes, Grant. Okay. This is when they left Egypt. And so, how did the Jews figure their calendar after they left Egypt? Okay, Passover was the begin, this was the new year. All right, and so they had this was the beginning of the new year. Now, they crossed the Jordan River on the 10th day of the month. We saw that last week, which was the same day that they left Egypt 40 years ago. And so 40 years ago, they had left Egypt, and now they have the Passover feast here on the 14th day of the month. Now, I think that God allowed for some human physical interaction here. They had gone through the circumcision ritual, and so it took them a few days to recover. And so maybe they weren't in fighting shape yet, but they were able to have the Feast of the Passover at this time. Now, the Feast of the Passover signifies their new beginning. It signified their new beginning when they left Egypt, and it also signified their new beginning now when they entered into the Promised Land. They entered into Canaan. So what is our new beginning? It's fitting that, see, some of you probably have already broken your New Year's resolutions. But, you know, at New Year's time, we talk about New Year's resolutions and what you're going to do for the next year and whether you do it or not, so on. But people try and have a new beginning. And this is kind of what the children of Israel were going through with this Feast of the Passover, was to signify this new beginning. What would be a significant new beginning as far as your life is concerned? There could be several. Yes. Okay, the spiritual beginning, very definitely. The spiritual beginning would be a new beginning for you when you accepted Christ. For those that of you that are married, there was a new beginning when you got married. This was the end of certain parts of your life as you knew it before, whether you realized it or not. But anyway, and so then we have the beginning of a new life here going forward. And so the Passover is the same thing for the children of Israel. that this signifies their new beginning. Then it says, on the day, verse 11, on the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan that day. And so we see that on the Passover, the 14th day of the month, they had crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the month. They're observing their new beginning. And then we see eating of the fruit of the land. Now, when it talks about eating the produce of the land, what do you think is the significance of this? When you think of produce, what do you think of? Okay, fruits and vegetables. And where, what part of the store do you find the fruits and vegetables? Or what are we talking about here? You find these in the canned goods area? Okay, this is fresh fruits and vegetables. And so I think that this, see now, what had the children of Israel been eating for 40 years? Manna. I hear that that was probably after this length of time, it was come kind of like MREs. Now, I never served in the military, so I don't know what MREs are, but I understand that you get tired of those fairly quickly. And so, anyway, the manna was actually very nutritious. It was very good for them. But still, 40 years of the same thing? Now, I can eat the same thing a lot longer than my wife can. You know, I could have sandwiches at least twice a day for couple of weeks wouldn't bother me at all. But, you know, after a while, you would like to have some variety. And so the children of Israel had just been eating manna. Even though it was nutritious, good for them, they were tired of it. And so now they are eating the produce of the land, which I think was the fresh material. This was the fresh stuff. And as a Christian, as we grow and so on, and as we look into the Word of God, we ought to be able to get not the hashed over material that someone else has gone through, but we ought to be able to get the fresh fruit of the Bible as we study it on our own. Now, not only did they have the get the produce of the land, it was new, it was fresh, but they also had the manna ceased after this. Now, what is the Lord trying to teach the children of Israel with this? Yes.
Well, this was the promised land that had been, they had avoided for 40 years because of disobedience.
Okay. Right.
And now they have a land that's rich and plenty of all kinds of food.
They were off of welfare now. Okay. They were now supposed to go on out and work for what they were going to get. This, there was plenty of opportunity here. They now had jobs and availability, if we put it into our terminology. There was plenty of opportunity for them to be able to succeed. There was plenty of opportunity for them to be able to feed their families and so on. They did not have to just wait on the Lord to give them these things. And again, it's this principle that the Lord does things for us. He does miracles for us, but there are certain things that He expects us to do. I always think of this when Paul and Silas were in prison. And God opened up the prison, but Paul and Silas had to dress themselves before they left. They had to put on their own shoes. God was not going to put on their shoes for them after He had opened up the prison. And so there's this aspect of God expects us to do things, and the manna ceased, and now the children of Israel were supposed to take over the land and to continue following him. And we'll see then next week, we see the last part of chapter 5, where we have the angel of the Lord that is there and starting to direct the conquest of Jericho. Any closing comments or questions? Okay, let's bow for a closing word of prayer then. Dear God, we come to you thanking you again for the opportunity of studying your word. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide and direct in our service. We pray that you would be with Pastor, that you would help him to give us the word to so that we would receive a blessing, so we would receive a challenge from it. We ask that you would be with each part of the service that would bring honor and glory to you. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Thank you.